You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we get the latest from Washington with Ken Rudin's Political Junkie tonight at 7 o'clock. First, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency could be facing sweeping and dramatic cuts to its budget in the next year. That's according to reports coming from Washington, D.C. These proposed cuts could have widespread ramifications across the country, including here in Wisconsin. Among the proposed cuts are significant reductions for funds to protect the Great Lakes and other projects nationwide. Andy Olson joins us now. He's the senior policy advocate for the Environmental Law and Policy Center. He's based in Madison. Andy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica. Good afternoon.
Well, can you describe the scope of the proposed cuts?
Sure. These are cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency, which the president has said is to allow us to increase spending for the Department of Defense. And there's a wide range of cuts over multiple programs, which total to $1.1 billion. And this is an leaked list of cuts. We don't know if these will be the final cuts. We'll find out in a couple of weeks.
And these cuts are not finalized. They'll have to be approved by Congress. But specifically, what would these cuts do?
Well, they occur to a lot of different programs, but there are a number that will hit home here in Wisconsin and for a lot of other states. One that a lot of people care about in Wisconsin is for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. And that's a program that's got a $300 million annual budget to help our Great Lakes, which are really, you know, a national treasure and the largest freshwater bodies in the world. And this program does a lot of things to help clean up toxics. It helps to combat invasive species, protect shorelines and wetlands. And, you know, we've seen problems like in Lake Erie with very large algae blooms due to pollution in that lake, and that's a concern there. And this program helps with this, and it helps work with local partners on the ground as well. Well, this proposed budget cut would be 97%. It would basically nearly eliminate the program, cut the funding from $300 million to $10 million. And, you know, it would basically sound a retreat in terms of protecting the Great Lakes. Of course, that's a great concern for Wisconsin because, you know, we're bordered by two Great Lakes, Superior and Michigan.
And what about funding for the restoration of brownfield, the former industrial sites?
Yes, this is something that helps a lot of urban areas and in areas where there have been abandoned sites for industrial sites, helps to recover and reclaim them. And what we often see happen is that that results in new job creation. So instead of having an abandoned, shuttered facility, you know, where businesses might want to go invest in a greenfield somewhere, you know, that has not been previously developed, this helps to recycle that industrial property and helps it get it going to actually create jobs. And so, you know, that's an example of another program where, you know, it helps the economy and it helps the environment and it helps us to deal with perhaps contaminated properties as well. Another one that really jumped out at me when I looked at this list is one for lead renovation, repair, and painting. And, you know, that doesn't sound like a real big deal, but after what we saw in Flint, Michigan, with the heartbreaking, lead contamination in the water supply, well, this is another example of lead poisoning, which affects children. And this program addresses lead-based paint in homes, in child care facilities, and preschools. And they will cut this by about 30%. And, you know, again, if we can't protect our children from lead poisoning, you know, where are the priorities that we have? Again, I would say this is a form of national defense, protecting future generations who are the future for this country.
Do you know where these cuts, these proposed cuts, I should say, would leave research, environmental research, and maybe in particular climate change research?
Right. You know, as we know, we're hearing a lot of talk about hostility to dealing with climate change, and there's kind of this attitude that we can be, you know, penny wise and pound foolish with it. We've seen from industry, we've seen from government, we've seen from our private sector a lot of, you know, can-do approach to the problems of climate change, and there's a lot of companies that have stepped forward. And they're taking the technologies that have been developed with public investment and they're bringing them to the marketplace. I mean, we just saw today that three different companies, for example, are bringing advanced battery storage forward. Well, you know, a lot of the problems that we face in terms of environmental problems, you know, we can overcome. And we've seen a lot of companies that have stepped up and have provided ways to deal with the problems once, you know, we make a public decision that we are going to confront and overcome these problems. And this is a part of a public-private partnership where funds are shared to do research, to find ways to overcome these problems and to effectively deal with them. And what we find time and time again is that the alarmists say when we have new regulatory protections against pollution that, oh, we can't do that, it'll hurt the economy. But instead what happens is that spurs a new round of innovation and development from the private sector to find ways to overcome these problems.
We're talking with Andy Olson right now. He's the senior policy advocate for the Environmental Law and Policy Center based in Madison, and talking about proposed cuts to the EPA, which would reduce the EPA by one-fifth. And Andy, let's back up a little bit and look at the founding of the EPA. What was its mission when it was founded?
Well, the EPA was started actually under Richard Nixon, and he signed a legislation that created the Environmental Protection Agency. So it's really kind of shocking that we'd have a Republican president, Donald Trump, now cutting back on that initiative, and that was in response to a lot of the kind of widespread environmental problems we saw back in the '60s and early '70s, and the American people, led by public leaders like Wisconsin's own Gaylord Nelson, stepped forward and said, we've got to deal with the damage being done to our waters and to our air. And what we've seen since that time is through the EPA, through state efforts, which Wisconsin used to be a leader in, a lot of, can-do approaches that say, we're going to deal with these problems, we're going to overcome them. Now, today, we don't see quite the same level of visibility of air quality problems, for example, that we might have seen back then. But if we backslide, if we sound the retreat from dealing with these problems, then we will see, a return to those problems in short order. We're seeing it now in China. They've got rampant industrialization, and they do not have, this level of environmental protection. A lot of companies from the U.S. have moved their operations there. And, they're dealing with some very severe public health problems as a result. And again, I just kind of come back and shake my head because, we hear that this is being done in order to increase our national defense and provide funding for the Department of Defense. Well, providing for the public health, safety, and welfare of the American people is a part of providing for the national defense. Protecting the American people from pollution is a form of national defense. And, we should not admit defeat before these problems. We should not, give up. We should keep trying and maintain these efforts and working together as a nation. The EPA was created with a bipartisan spirit. We should return to that and work together to fight pollution.
President Trump has very clearly said that he's invested in clean water and clean air. Do you see the EPA being able to meet clean air and water goals with these cuts, or do you see these goals being taken up by another agency or maybe states themselves?
No, I don't see any basis for that statement. I mean, he's got $1 billion in cuts here, including to a program for safe and sustainable water resources, which is to help improve technology for drinking water supplies. We don't see anything to deal with the widespread problem of lead pollution in drinking water supplies. It's not just Flint, it's all over the country. And, we know how to fix that. He's cutting back on marine pollution. Just across the board, he's reducing the wherewithal for our nation to deal with this problem. And so, maybe he's got a magic wand or something, or he just thinks that if we all think the right way, it'll change. But we know it takes resources to confront these problems. And, we also have the problem that he has appointed to head the EPA, the new administrator, Scott Pruitt, formerly the Attorney General of Oklahoma. Well, a Wisconsin group called the Center for Media and Democracy won the, through an open records request in Oklahoma, finally, won the emails from that office and found that he worked very closely with polluting industries to undermine and to gut environmental protections that protect the public health, safety, and welfare. And so this is the fellow now who's going to be running the EPA. And in his first comment to the staff at the EPA, He stressed that their job is to serve the industries they regulate, not to serve the public, but to serve the industries and to help them with easier regulations. So there's no indication from the president that, you know, for example, for the water quality problems in Flint, there's no initiative from him to deal with that. There's no initiative anywhere that I've seen from him to deal with pollution problems, with modern pollution problems that continue to persist. For example, he's cutting programs that deal with endocrine pollution, which is like basically hormonal pollution or pollution that you know affects the endocrine system of the human body. Well, that's a problem across the country.
We're talking to Andy Olson right now. He's the senior policy advocate for the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and we're talking about the proposed financial cuts that could come to the Environmental Protection Agency. And we'd like to hear from you on this. Are you concerned about the proposed cuts? What projects do you think could be threatened under these cuts? Or do you think that the EPA has too many regulations, stifles business, and needs to be streamlined? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation about the proposed funding and staffing cuts that could come to the Environmental Protection Agency. The White House is looking to reduce funding for the EPA and the size of the agency by one-fifth. Andy Olson is with us. He's the senior policy advocate for the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and we'd like to hear from you. What do you think of the proposed cuts, and what do you think the future of the EPA should be? Is this a good idea to balance increased military spending, and is the EPA too bogged down in regulations? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234, or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll go now to our first caller. We have Dan with us in Appleton. Dan, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
This is for your guest. Just a question. I mean, specifically going back to the Flint water issue, my understanding is that there are at least a couple people who have been identified as not having done their job and basically allowing this to happen. I guess my question to the guest is, this is a very local issue, and I do not care for our president, his policies, et cetera, but it being a local issue, how does he come into play here since we already have identified the problem, hopefully identified a solution, and identified those who are responsible? Why not keep it local?
Dan, thanks a lot for that question, and what do you say to that, Andy?
Well, sure. I mean, when you're talking about a water distribution system, it's certainly local. It comes to your house from the water supply. And it was local in the case of Flint, and there were some individual mistakes that were made or some malfeasance that was done. And we might yet see justice on that. But we also know at the same time that there are lead pipes used throughout the country for water drinking supplies. We've heard reports recently in Wisconsin of lead pipes and water fountains and lead in the drinking water supply in schools. So we have not dealt with the problem just because of the individual Flint issue. We've got a lurking problem throughout the country that we've got to deal with, because this could happen again. It could happen in any number of ways, and we still have lead pipes carrying and delivering water. And so, you know, And again, you know, we've got lead programs that reduce exposure to children from lead poisoning, which affects their, you know, intellectual development, that are being cut by this budget that we're seeing, this draft budget. So it's an example of where the American people came together and reacted with horror to what was done, because so many of us, regardless of what our party is, do care about protecting our environment, our natural heritage, and future generations. And that's a widely shared value in America. And so we should not retreat from it.
Thanks a lot for that call, Dan. And we're going to go next to Simmer in Milwaukee. Hi, Simmer.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What did you want to add?
I kind of wanted to add, going back to the state of Wisconsin, hunting and fishing are a tradition. And I think Great Lakes, any lake, any streams, they provide not only food, but they also provide, you know, entertainment, and a lot of kids learn these things from their grandfathers, their fathers, and it just kind of feels like deception where we want to protect the country, but we also want to take away all of these resources by cutting the EPA.
Simmer, thank you for that. What do you think about some of these state environmental culture like we have here in Wisconsin as it relates to the EPA, Andy?
Sure. Well, he makes a great point, and it occurs at different levels. I mean, he's talking about some of our traditions and our practices, enjoying the outdoors, enjoying fishing and hunting. It's very often a family activity passed on from generation to generation. And when we have environmental degradation and we do not take care of our natural heritage, then we begin to lose that cultural tradition. And also, there's an economic aspect, because if we're not taking care of the environment that helps to support those jobs, and there's entire industries around those. You know, it might be hunting and fishing, it might be in paddling, it might be in hiking or camping. All these sort of activities that are good for family health, good for us to get out and experience. The more we degrade our environment, the more we lose those. And we've seen in the past month now, which is very disheartening, in the American West, a big pushback from those who like to hunt and fish against plans to develop energy resources on our public lands out west. And there's been a very big pushback from the grassroots, from people who enjoy those traditions. And so that, I think, is something that the president has lost track of. I doubt he really enjoys those habits or those practices himself.
We're talking with Andy Olson right now, senior policy advocate for the Environmental Law and Policy Center in Madison, talking about the White House plan to reduce the EPA by one-fifth. And Andy, one criticism of the EPA over the years, as it's become more politicized, is that the EPA is too burdened with regulations that can stifle the growth of business. What do you think about that?
Well, that's actually just not the case. And, you know, we can point to studies if people want to talk studies that can bore a lot of people. But basically what the studies find is that it's a wash. You know, the regulations might hurt some industries that are the sources of the pollution, but then they often spark growth in other industries. So, example, catalytic converters in vehicles produce pollution from personal vehicles. And, you know, we also see, and I experience in my own work in clean energy, a lot of companies that respond to public challenges coming forth with new technologies. And there's just so much creativity and innovation out there. And people are investing in new companies to do this. We see a lot of companies that have accepted, you know, the challenge to cut their carbon footprint or increase their sustainability. Big companies have stepped forward to do that. So we've got some companies that are polluters and are bad actors, and they fund politicians that are trying to gut our environmental protections. But then we have others that step forward with a can-do attitude. And, you know, there's a lot of young people that are, they come and intern for me. They're very eager to work on finding solutions to environmental problems. They dedicate themselves to it. They look forward to careers solving those problems, and it's a part of the culture for many of them. So it's really a false choice to say that the only way that we can grow our economy is by polluting our country. There used to be a phrase when I was a kid, America the Beautiful, and that's what I think motivated a lot of us to keep this country beautiful and to pass it off to the next generation in better shape than we got it. I hope we can, as a country, return to that value and to do that for the future generation.
Let's take one more call here. We've got Jeff on the line in Platteville. Jeff, hi.
Hi there. I think you just touched on it a little bit, but I wanted to point out that so many of these regressive policies are based on a persistent myth, I call it, that corporations are struggling, that the economy is struggling. And it's only struggling for the common man, for the corporations and for the economic elite. Things are going gangbusters. So I think it's really, you know, a huge falsehood that we have to cut corporations all these little breaks and, you know, let them go ahead and pollute because they're hurting so bad. We have to really cut them every kind of slack. And it's just a lot of bull. I mean, they don't need the breaks.
Jeff, thank you for that call. And Andy, what do you agree with Jeff about that? That corporations are doing okay, and that it doesn't need bolstering on the back of the EPA, for instance.
Yes, broadly speaking, yeah, I don't think that there's evidence that companies are struggling because they're not able to pollute. And really what we're seeing happen here is that the environmental protection is being used as a scapegoat for the economic anxieties, for job problems, for falling wages that so many people in the middle class are facing. And it's really not the case. I mean, there are a lot of other reasons why wages are being driven down, and it's really being done by a lot of the same economic forces that are behind trying to repeal environmental protections. So, you know, we can have good jobs and good wages, and we can also have a livable, clean environment at the same time. That's a false choice to say that we've got to, you know, have pollution if we want to have jobs. You know, it's automation that's killing jobs, offshoring, employment, things of that nature that are really hurting and driving wages down. So if we want to work on improving jobs and wages, there are a lot of other better solutions. For example, right now the solar industry employs more people than the coal industry, just for one example of many.
And we leave it there. Jeff, thank you for that call. And Andy, thanks to you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. That was Andy Olson, Senior Policy Advocate for the Environmental Law and Policy Center in Madison. He was with us to talk about the White House plan to reduce the Environmental Protection Agency by one-fifth. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time.